ate the first grave. So they came out into the world, and the world was the one you are now standing in. It is a fine world, and it will not be slandered here. And there is a great deal in it worth a man's whole life. There is bread in it, and a woman's hand, and a hill with the light on in the evening, and the smell of rain coming across a dry country before you can see it. But yes, it is a hard world, and it does not give anything away. When the man and the woman left the garden, the ground came up full of thorn and thistle and flint, and it had to be broken with a stick and watered with a man's sweat and guarded from everything that walked, and it gave what it gave and no more. And if a man lay down for a season, the wind and the weed and the dust took it all back. Adam had been a priest in a garden sanctuary. He was now a laborer in a field, in the skin of a beast, with a wife who cried and a shut gate behind him. And Eve conceived and bare Cain. And she opened her mouth over that child and said a thing that has been ringing down the whole of this chronicle ever since. She said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." Gotten. The word is kana in the old speech, and it is a trader's word. It is the word a man uses when he has come away from the market with the thing he went for, and it is the word for a purchase and for a possession. She had been promised a seed, a child. She had carried that promise out through the gate and through the thorns and through 9 months. And now here the child was, red and shouting in her arms. And she looked at it and she thought the war was over. She had the man. She had got him. She named him Got because she thought the promise had arrived, and she was wrong, and she was so terribly wrong that we cannot say it without our voices going. And the ruin below heard the name she gave him and sat up in the dark and began to count. For that is what she thought, and the old fathers say it too, and we agree with them. She thought this child in her arms was the one that had been promised to save mankind. 30 words had been spoken over a snake in a garden, about a seed that would take the serpent's head, and she was the woman in the sentence, and this was her seed, and it had taken less than a year. And the first thing the human race ever did with the promise of God was to look at the first thing that came along and say, "This is it, I have got it. It is mine." And the first thing that came along, this child named Got, grew up and murdered his brother. We are going to see that mistake made again in this chronicle by better people than her in every generation. And the word Got and mine have been handed down from generation to generation, inspired by the evil out of Abaddon, and placed into the mouths of mothers and kings and priests and prophets from that afternoon to this one. And again, the woman bare a son, and she called him Abel. And that name is a knife. Hebel is the name for Abel in the old speech, and it means a breath, a vapor, the steam off a cup on a cold morning that is there and is gone while you are looking at it. Nobody knows why she chose that name. Some of ours say that by the time the second boy came, she had learned something and had stopped expecting the promise so quickly, and had this time looked at the little thing in her arms and known in her bones that everything here goes. And some say it was said in bitterness and some in love, and some say the name was given later and stuck. We, the tellers of this tale, do not know. Two boys and two trades. Cain was a tiller of the ground, the eldest son of the man Adam, that had been himself named Ground, for that is the meaning of Adam, as we have already said. And the man and his son Cain put their hands into the very dirt El Elyon had cursed, and fought it and made it give. But Abel was a keeper of sheep. And the whole of the rest of this chronicle is standing in the generations and line of the man with the flock. And the ruin below marked it, and has hated shepherds ever since, and has been putting kings and cities and towers up against them for as long as there have been sheep. And in process of time Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. The first ones, the fat ones, the best and the earliest. And he did not keep them back to see how the season went. Cain brought the fruit of the ground, not the first of it, not the best of it. But he brought it off his field, knowing the ground itself was under a curse. And Cain set the offering of his fruits down on the altar, as if nothing had happened in Eden. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And the record puts the man before the gift both times, and it is not being careless. Dava did not weigh two baskets. He looked at two men. One came the way he had been shown and brought a life not his own, the lamb that represented the day when Dava would lay his life down for them all, and he came covered. The other son, Cain, came his own way, with a basket of fruit from a cursed field, the work of his own hands and the plan of his own saving, and thought he needed no covering. He was not bringing an offering, but a receipt for a bill he thought he himself had paid, and we have no doubt he expected change. And the ruin stood behind him in the field and did not have to say a word. And when Cain saw that the work of his own hands was not an acceptable offering to El Elyon, he was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And here is the thing nobody notices, and it undoes every lie ever told that El Elyon was a cold and distant ruler, for the chronicle states that the Lord came down to Cain. El Elyon and Dava were insulted to their face by a sulking man, and yet his maker did not send a watcher and did not strike him down. Instead, Dava came himself and stood beside Cain while he glowered, and Dava asked the angry young man two gentle questions and warned him and told him exactly of the evil and ruin that was standing behind him and how to get out of it before a hand had been raised. Ramoth, the world above, stood over that field, and Abaddon, the world below, lay under it. And Dava walked out into the middle ground of the marchlands and reasoned with a boy. If thou doest well, Dava said, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. The word for lieth in the old speech is crouching, a beast gone down on its haunches in the long grass with its eyes on you. In this very country, there is a thing they hang charms on their doorposts against, a liar in wait that takes a man in his own doorway, and it is the same word. So when Dava said a crouching thing was at his door, he was naming who was on the step. The ruined, the lord of the flies, had come up out of cursed Abaddon and crossed the field in the dark, and he had gone down on his haunches in the doorway, waiting for the young man to come out with a grievance in him. But Cain walked out past the warning and went and found his brother Abel. And every soul in the three worlds watched the doorway, and neither kingdom moved. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and was angry. And we have been told that he was angry because his brother would not condemn the judgment of Dava and would not speak against him. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. How he did it the record does not say. A stone, we suppose, out of the ground he had broken all his life. And it was very loud and then very quiet. And a shout of victory went up out of Abaddon yet again, and the ground drank it. The ground cursed for their father's sake, opened its mouth, and took the first blood of the sons of Adam, and the sound of it went up out of the middle world of the marchlands, past the watchers, into the very court of El Elyon. And Dava walked again, seeking the sons of the man he had made in the garden, and asked again the "Where are you?" question. Where is Abel, thy brother? he came out to him a second time, with the blood not yet dry, and gave him the same open door he had given his father in the bushes. And Cain said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Keeper. The word spoken to his father in the garden, to dress it and to keep it, and spoken over the flaming sword, to keep the way of the tree of life. Adam was made a keeper and did not keep. And now his son stands with a stone in his hand and his brother's blood in the dirt, and asks, with his lip curled, whether keeping was ever his job. It was. It always was. And there is one creature in the three worlds who was never a keeper and never wanted to be, and who has been putting that question into men's mouths in every generation since, and has never had to change a word of it. What hast thou done? Davar asked, knowing exactly what he had done. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And then the judgment fell on the bloodied, denying murderer. Now art thou cursed from the earth, said the Lord Davar. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be. The sentence passed, and the farmer is cut off from the field. The one thing he could do, he can no longer do, and it fits him like a coat. And the ruined one from the pit below heard the sentence and was pleased, and did not notice that no fire had come down out of Ramoth, and that the man was still breathing, and that El Elyon had not finished. And Cain, the first murderer the world had ever known, said, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Look through the whole of his answer for one word about a dead boy, and you will not find it. He is sorry about the sentence, that he will be driven out and hidden and killed. It is the grief of the falling one all over again, out of a human mouth. He did not mind what he had done. He minded what it would cost him. And El Elyon reached out and set a mark upon him, lest any finding him should kill him, and threw a sevenfold hedge round the neck of the man that took his brother's life, and sent him out alive under guard. What the mark was, nobody knows, and one will not be invented here. What it did, we know. It kept a murderer breathing. And there is nothing the ruin can do with a sentence like that. He came up from the world beneath to collect a soul he had earned fairly in the open. And El Elyon marked the man and sent him away alive. And the accuser has stood in front of that mark with his ledger open ever since, and there is no column in it. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Nod is wandering. It is not a country, but a sentence. And the man is living in a verdict. And every man in this scroll who goes wrong goes east, the gate with the fire in it getting smaller behind him. And Cain knew his wife, and she bare Enoch. And he built a city and called it after his son. The man sentenced to wander built a wall. He was told he would be a fugitive, and he laid a foundation and set up a gate and would not go. And the name of the boy is Enoch, which is dedication, a thing set apart and consecrated. He dedicated a wall. He had the sevenfold protection of El Elyon on his own neck, the only safety in the world worth having. And he built himself a wall of protection anyway. For a man who will not have a keeper will always build a wall. And Abaddon looked at that wall and was well pleased and moved in and has lived in the cities of men ever since. And somebody buried Abel in the cursed ground that day with the blood stained upon it. The record does not say who, but we can only suppose it was either his parents or his murderer. Somebody went out into that field with the flies already on the corpse and picked up a boy who had been taught to whistle at sheep and dug a hole in the cursed ground with his hands and pushed the dirt back over his face. It was the first grave in the world, dug for a brother perhaps, by a brother's hand. And the watchers stood over that hole, and there was no singing, and there has been no singing over any grave in the middle world from that morning until now. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth, which is appointed, For El Elyon, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. She is still counting. She has buried one son and lost the other to a wall in the east, and now she stands with a third son in her arms, reaching for the promise again. She named this one appointed and not got. And that is the difference between a woman at the beginning of her sorrows and a woman further down the line. She is not claiming him. She is receiving him. And to Seth was born a son, and he called his name Enosh, which is frail, which is mortal, built on a root that means a thing that will not heal. A child was born into the third generation of a house that had buried a boy and lost a boy and been driven from a garden. And his father looked at the small red thing in his arms and named him Incurable. He did not name him Hope. He told the truth about it and about himself and about all of us. And in Ramoth, they leaned out over the rim again and heard a man name his son Incurable. And they had never heard anything like it, for there is no frailty in Ramoth and nothing that will not heal. And they did not understand why the sound of it was so heartbreaking, but they knew that it was for they too wept. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord, and that is where the scroll ends. In the very hour, a man in the line of Seth looked into a cradle and admitted out loud, in a name, that his son was frail and mortal and incurable. Men began to call, not to build, not to work, not to carry the fruit of a cursed ground up a hill and wait to be thanked, but to call out loud on the name of Devar, like a man in a pit shouting up at a light. The line of Cain went east and built a wall and dedicated it. The line of Seth stayed still and named a baby Incurable and began to pray. A wall and a prayer. That is the last line of the first scroll of this chronicle. And every soul that has ever drawn breath in the Marchlands has stood on one of those two grounds and stands there tonight. And so do we, and so do you. Here ends the Book of the Making. The chronicle continues in the Book of the Deep, wherein the two lines run apart down the long-lived generations, and the fallen reach up out of Abaddon into the world of men. And the earth is filled with violence. And El Elyon shuts one door against the flood and opens it again upon a washed and empty world.